Thank you so much, and I would like to begin with thanking Synopsys for hosting this conference and for bringing together such a group of excellent people. I've been following on YouTube and I've enjoyed it very much, and I hope to contribute a little bit to the procedure here by talking about Switzerland. And there was a discussion this morning about no country being too small, right? And I agree with this view. I think Didi brought it up. And also about possibilities of small countries within the European Union and NATO. Now, Switzerland is neither part of the European Union nor of NATO, but it has its own profile. And I think when one studies the United Front activities in Switzerland, one learns a lot about one's own country's profile. And I think, again, with Switzerland, we will see that it's not mild, as we heard about Finland, but the United Front influence is basically all over the place, and it's everywhere if you look for it. I also should say that I will not bother you too much with the details of the report that I'm writing and that I hope to publish in the next 2 to 3 weeks about the Swiss case. I will get into that a little bit, but I want to more relate the structural elements of what I learned about this case in order to maybe propel the discussion a little bit and create linkages to other cases that we've heard about. Now, the Swiss case is interesting in many ways, and I think it describes how the United Front actually works in a foreign country. And I called this report Working the Fringes, and I mean the fringes of a fabric, right? Not like fringe characters or something like that. I'm not sure whether it's a good metaphor in English. But what I mean by it is that the United Front, if you distinguish it from intelligence work and from the embassy's work and other work, which is always hard to distinguish because it's also enmeshed with each other. But if you try to distinguish it, I think its characteristic it is that it works exactly there where the party and the state interlace, so to say, with civil society actors on whether ethnically Chinese or not, right, doesn't matter so much, but into civil society of Switzerland or of a host country and the economy and politics in the end. And if we don't understand these interlinkages, I think it will be difficult to find a good answer to these influence efforts. And Didi has mentioned CERN, right, so the very famous Swiss-French institution that is busy involved in cutting-edge research. I will not talk about it, but I think it was a good indication that I should look at that also in the weeks to come. And to be also quite clear about methodology, what I'm trying to do in my report is more what could be described as conceptually rigorous description rather than explanation. I don't think that in the case of Switzerland, as with many cases around the world, we're at the place where we can actually explain a lot. I think our first task should be to describe a lot, to make, to create transparency and to create awareness of who does what, where, and when, and how, and what exists, basically. So I've been trying to go after many associations in Switzerland, and there's a few dozens associations that I found. I'll talk about them in a second. And methodologically, what I did, basically, is not very sophisticated, but I just went for open source information, official sites. I try to refer to information that is given by the actors themselves. So if I find the information on a United Front homepage, then that's great for me, or the Ministry of Foreign Affairs, or if the embassy reports about it, or things like that. But it's basically online search engines that I've used extensively to bring together information that allows me then to reconstruct networks, basically. And that's at the center of the report that I want to write. Now, I want to begin with three aspects that I think are particularly important for the discussion that we're having at this conference. One, and they're all challenges in a sense. The one challenge is to conceptually grasp the United Front, and there's been discussions about this. But of course, the United Front Working Department is one thing. Then you've got a broader system that could be described as a United Front policy, and all of that you find in Switzerland. But these actors, they themselves are constituted by people who then are reaching into civil society. These people have jobs in Switzerland. They have maybe associations on the side. What I discovered are most of these people are members in several associations at the same time. Right. And in these associations, there's other people involved who, to that extent, are co-opted, knowingly or unknowingly. And that, again, covers an entire spectrum of overseas Chinese, of Swiss people, of other people involved, Taiwanese involved, Tibetan people involved, all of it. Right. So one issue is how to conceptualize that. What do you count as a united front effort and what you don't, right? These sort of questions. And this amorphous mass, so to say, then massages the system. That's how I would describe it. It massages the system and reaches into economy, politics, and the media. And I think that's where we need transparency, because these actors on the side of economy, politics, and media don't actually understand who's talking to them, what's happening to them. So that's one point. A second point that I've been struggling with a lot is how to talk about this issue without recreating, let's say, authoritarian thinking patterns myself, right? How to distinguish the people that you talk about from the institutions that they represent. And I do think that the distinction is warranted, that we should always try to distinguish between the person and the institutional aspect that that person brings to the table. Because if we don't do that, we risk to ethnicize the matter, right? And we should de-ethnicize it. And it's also warranted, I think, by the subject, because a lot of these people are not ethnically Chinese, right? At least if you go into the co-opted sphere of actors, then this is clearly the case. And they're also not necessarily from the People's Republic of China, right? They might be Taiwanese, and a lot of relations go to Hong Kong, and so on and so forth. So that's the second aspect. The third one, I think, is the one that we might not have talked about too much at the conference from what I understood. But it's, I think that we shouldn't frame the issue as one of, so to say, Europe against China, right? It's not the external authoritarian challenge that is brought to the wonderfully post-enlightenment Europe. It's not like that, I think. So what I like to think of it as a combination of external and internal challenges. And if we don't factor into this the internal challenges, and there was some mention of that, Professor Akito Nami, for instance, talked about the openness of economy to engage with China. Right. If we don't engage with the corporate world and capitalism in sense, then we will not understand the full complexity and the possibilities that the United Front has to engage the system. So it's an internal as much as an external challenge. And in that sense, it's something where we just not just have to discuss the not always benign intentions of China. We all know about that. But also we have to have a discussion about ourselves and our societies and the values we cherish, the interests that we think are most important to pursue, and so on and so forth. So now, let me say something about this report itself that I'm busy writing. I try to reconstruct networks in Switzerland, so trying to find out which organizations exist and how do they personally overlap. And I have found several interesting, I think, networks. Interestingly, there's a part where we have United Front associations that are largely fueled by Chinese overseas, overseas Chinese by expats who for decades have been in Switzerland. So these associations personally go back at least two decades, some of them three or four decades, right? And among them, I found one that is particularly interesting. So that's one network, and I'll talk about it in a second. Then if you look at who's co-opting the Swiss, the main loudspeakers in the society giving the Chinese talking points, these are often other United Front actors, often seated in China itself. So the CPAFFC, the Chinese People's Association for Friendship with Foreign Countries, there is, for instance, the main actor. But these two networks often don't overlap. I can hardly find any instance where they talk to each other. So it's like parallel systems. They only meet regularly when they are invited at the embassy or the consulate in Zurich. And I'm not even sure whether they understand who the other party is. So these networks there, I think there's several layers of them, and there's several parallel networks that we can find. Then also, if I recreate the networks, I want to understand sociologically who are these people, in order to also to give this complexity to the research object that is warranted by this personal institutional aspect distinction that I've been talking about. And it's interesting, very dominantly in Switzerland, at least, is the Chinese, traditional Chinese medicine environment. About, I don't know, I haven't calculated it, but I would guess like every fifth person does have a sort of traditional Chinese medicine office somewhere in Switzerland that is involved in the United Front. Then you've got Chinese schools, you've got a lot of business people, of course, but it's for instance, the Fujian Hometown Association in Switzerland is exclusively constituted of restaurant owners. And so this sort of sociological complexity, I think we need to analyze more to understand how the linkages work and how the processes work, because they translate directly, I think, into the impact that this sort of influence creates, and that is so hard to trace and to quantify, for instance, right, or things like that, which, of course, politicians would love to understand how to quantify all of that. But that's hard to do. Now, I'll give you just a short glimpse into the report itself. So one association that is very important is that was founded in 2008. It was founded in Bern in the presence of the ambassador, and it's called the Association Suisse des Commerçants et Entrepreneurs d'Origine Chinoise, or in its English name, it's often referred to as the Swiss Chinese Chamber of Commerce. This is an organization that brings together a lot of United Front organizations through the persons involved in this association. It is led by Tang Yulap, who is the towering figure of that association. He's a Hong Kong person, very rich. He was called early on the godfather of foreign exchange in Hong Kong. And when you look at him, and there's a lot of information about him on the news section of that association, but also on his personal travel blog, where he loves to post pictures and gives a lot of information, actually. But if you look at the list of offices that his company homepage openly declares, that's quite interesting. He sits on the Chinese People's Political Consultative Conference. He has a position in the China Council for the Promotion of Peaceful National Reunification, the China Overseas Friendly Association Committee, and he's on the Chinese People Association for Friendship with Foreign Countries. So these are some of the most central players in the United Front, right? And he's involved with all of them. And he, since the inception of the association in 2008, has been in charge, the president of that association. But also, if we look at the members of the association themselves, you find people like Tian Yinghua, who is a professor at the University Hospital of Zurich, a liver transplant specialist, who has several United Front functions, again, in different associations. And if you would make a list of all the associations that are brought together under this one, then you would find like 20 or something associations within Switzerland, all through the people represented in this Chamber of Commerce. I could go on with examples of what these people do for a long time. I just want to highlight one more, maybe. Ka San Lam, who has been active in the United Front in Switzerland for like 2-3 decades, who is a restaurant owner, and whose life story, I think, says something about the complexity of the biographical level of these people who come to serve in key functions of United Front in a target society like Switzerland. Basically, his parents have left China during the Civil War, fleeing the communists, right? And they settled in Vietnam, where Ka San Lam, as a 27 years old, as a boat people, again, fled the communist north to arrive. He wanted to go to the United States, didn't work out. He ended up in Switzerland with three of his brothers, and he ended up in the United Front eventually, being a key person. So this sort of life trajectory, I think, we need to understand better to see how the United Front actually works the system. Now, let me see. So that's 2008, the one key association that I found. And then just recently I came across another instance which I think is crucial in the history of the United Front in Switzerland, and that's in 2015. And I think the year is significant, right? 2015 is when Xi Jinping pushed the United Front. He wanted a better coordination and so on. And what seemed to have happened in Switzerland is that they founded another umbrella organization, and it's called it's called the Federation of Overseas Chinese Associations in Switzerland. So this is an umbrella organization, again founded with the ambassador in presence and in Bern. And this association, if you look which ones are assembled there, so it's the Swiss Chinese Chamber of Commerce again, the one that I was talking about is a member here, but it's a Swiss Chaozhou Hometown Association, Swiss Chinese Overseas Friendship Association, Swiss Federation of Chinese Overseas Chinese. Sometimes it's hard to disentangle all these different similarly sounding names. Swiss Tourism Association. We heard something about Hokkaido and tourism this morning, right? Then Swiss Chinese Investment Chamber of Commerce, Swiss Shanghainese Association, and also the Swiss Chinese Scholars Association for Science and Technology. And we heard in the Finland case about the CAST, right? That the CAST in Switzerland is very important. But before I get there, the umbrella organization, it's interesting in itself because I found the date of its foundation, 2015, then there were entries. And in after 2016, there's not many more entries by the association itself. In fact, the homepage is not up anymore. I only found it in archivized versions, right? So then, somebody did a very good job archiving all that sites because I could now reconstruct what happened quite nicely. And apparently, it was founded in November 2015, and end of November, they had their third council meeting in Bern. And there's a protocol of that meeting where a summary of the agenda items are presented. And there you can see that in one of the agenda items, it is reported how somebody has maliciously attacked and slandered the member association leaders, and that the council expressed its indignation and strong condemnation for such irresponsible behavior that violates the constitution of the federation. It's interesting how a United Front organization wants to rely on a rule of law linked to its own constitution, as if that would be something valid, right? But something must have happened there. And I think that accounts for why the association later on has not shown prominently, why it was hard to find, why there's no homepage running anymore. But there was an issue. I see it mentioned until 2019, and then it finishes. And the last archive link is in 2019 also. I haven't reconstructed what has happened, but it's interesting to see also in terms of what Philippe Birouche was talking about this morning, you know, this unity that was supposed to be constructed for the United Front organizations in a target society, how that also led to such quarrel and dissent. And here we have an example of United Front organizations obviously involved in some sort of conflict with each other, with the result of this federation not really taking off, I would say, or taking off in a more clandestine way, at least. I cannot find much information about their activities otherwise. Now, I have to wrap it up, I see, and I just want to highlight that I'm still feeling overwhelmed by all the evidence I'm finding, by all the groups that I'm finding. And in case of Switzerland, to bring in the special profile, CASTS plays, the local variant of CAST plays a huge role. And if you look at the subdivisions that this association has in Switzerland, one might understand where the most sensitive issues in Switzerland might be hidden. So there's a Chinese Association of Material Science and Energy Technology, and a Chinese Association of Material Science and Technology, very similarly sounding, and one Chinese Association of Finance Professionals. And of course, Swiss banks, right? Swiss research institutions. There's a lot of activity of the United Front in Switzerland that can be shown at that level. In my report itself, I try to go all the way and also look at the co-opted civil society actors in Switzerland, at the way how they sometimes turn their relationships to the United Front to their own economic benefit, how it opens up doors in China. If you have a Chinese friendship association, for instance, from now the civil society side, and these issues. One last element that I want to highlight is something that I found. I'm not sure. I haven't found too much about that in the literature, and I would be interested if anybody has come across that and has maybe written about it. But one thing I found is that there are a series of Swiss companies, and we're talking about the big, big players in Switzerland, who all on their board of directors have somebody who is in the CPPCC at various level, local or national levels. And there are interesting, how to say, entanglements of these persons with the United Front otherwise, and with Swiss government actors sometimes. But I wondered whether somebody has come across this sort of phenomenon. In Switzerland, it's really as who is who of the Swiss companies who have such people on their board. With this, I would want to end. I've been a bit too long. I'm sorry for that. And I look forward to the rest of the panel. Thank you so much.